Child of the King, that's one of my favorite songs. I especially like that last stanza. This morning, my subject is baptism. Is that shocking? You know, I'm an old Baptist. And Baptists love to preach about baptism. The old Baptist preacher got up to preach, and he says, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he came down to the next verse and it said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he said, speaking of water, that brings us to the subject of baptism. So this morning we're going to talk about baptism. And I want it to be just a simple, straightforward message. And this morning I want to address the question, why be baptized? Why be baptized? Take your Bibles with me and go to Acts chapter 8. And I want to begin there, Acts chapter 8. Why be baptized? You know, as important as baptism is, baptism is not a part of the saving gospel. Now, a lot of people are mixed up on that. A lot of people believe that in order to be saved, you must be baptized. And when we go to the scriptures, we find that that's not true. But nevertheless, even though baptism is not a part of the saving gospel, we find out that baptism is very important. And so we need to understand why it is important and why we should be baptized. But I want to begin with an incident that takes place in the book of Acts concerning Philip, an evangelist, one of the original deacons in the church, and God led him into evangelistic work in Samaria. And in verse 35 of chapter 8, Philip is witnessing to an Ethiopian. And it says this, then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, which we find in the context is Isaiah chapter 53. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, the gospel centers in Jesus. The gospel centers in the fact that Jesus Christ, the blessed eternal Son of God, came from heaven, put on a body, lived a sinless life, went to the cross, died for us, and rose victoriously 3 days later. That's the gospel. And Paul tells us that if we believe that, if we receive that, if we put our faith and trust in Christ and who He is and what He's done for us, we will be saved. And so now we come to the next verse, and Philip preaches Jesus to the Ethiopian. In verse 36, we read, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Notice they came to the water. They came to the water. The water didn't come to them. They came to the water. And the Bible says, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why can't I be baptized? So along with preaching Jesus, Philip obviously talked to him about baptism also. Baptism is important, but it's not a part of the gospel. That's not how we get saved. Now look at verse 37, and we'll see that. In verse 37 Philip says, if thou, what? Believest with all thine heart. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we see that while baptism is important, it's not a part of our salvation. It's not a part of the saving gospel. And Philip refused to baptize the Ethiopian until he had made a credible profession of faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he was the Son of God. And then upon that profession of faith, he baptized him. And so we see that, as the Scripture says in many places, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we come to Jesus Christ by faith. We trust Him by faith. He went to the cross and died for us. He was our substitute on Calvary. Our sins were laid upon Him. He shed His blood. He was a sacrificial substitute for you and I on Calvary's cross. He died for our sins. He went to the tomb. 3 days later, God victoriously, by His power, brought Him forth, never to die again. And so that is the gospel. And when we put our faith and trust in that Christ, when we put our faith and trust in that salvation, then God saves us. Amen? God forgives us of our sins, and He saves us. So why then should you be baptized? If baptism doesn't have any part in your salvation, why should you be baptized? Let me speak to you just simply and plainly for a short time this morning. Take your Bible with me and go to Matthew chapter 28, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 28. And notice what our Lord tells us here. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. The command that He gives to His disciples is to go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Now, Jesus gave the command. Jesus gave the command. Commands in the Bible are in the imperative. That means that they're not optional. That means they're not suggestions. That means that they are commands. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave the command to His disciples that they should go forth and make disciples. And they should preach the gospel, that people would be saved. And then upon that, then they should be baptized. They should be baptized. Now, if there is a command to baptize, there must be also a command to be baptized. And so why should we be baptized? First of all, dear people, because our Lord Jesus Christ commands it. He commands it. It is a command to everybody who puts their faith and trust in Him, that we are to follow Him in obedience in baptism. Now, Jesus says in the Gospel of John that if we love Him, we should do what? We should obey. We should keep His commandments. And so when we are baptized, we are following the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are showing our love and our obedience to Him when we follow Him, when we submit to Him, when we obey His command, and we are baptized. And so really the first step of obedience, the first step of yielding to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because you remember now, folks, Jesus is not only our Savior, He's our what? He's our Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Master. And so in the first step of obedience after we get saved, really the first thing that we ought to do when we get saved is make plans to be baptized. We ought to follow Him in baptism. He has commanded that we follow Him in baptism. Now, dear people, we are going to show our love and our obedience to Him as not only our Savior, but as our Lord when we submit to Him in baptism. So that's the first reason we should be baptized. Now take your Bible with me and go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 very quickly. And I want you to look at these verses with me, if you would, this morning. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 32. Notice what it says here. Matthew 10, 32. It says, "Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, have you ever noticed that we do our best to try and make every baptism public? There's been a few times in my ministry when I've baptized people in not such a public way, but for good reasons. There was a time when I went to a home and baptized a person in the bathtub. There was another time when I went to a home and baptized somebody in a jacuzzi. But in both of those cases, there were witnesses, but we didn't do it before the entire church or the public because for medical reasons we couldn't. But those are exceptions. Now, generally, if we baptize here at the church, we baptize up here in the baptistry, and everybody's able to see it. We go down to the river, and there's always a large crowd of people. There's church people, and then there's non-church people who gather at the river and watch us baptize. But baptism, you see, baptism is our opportunity, to express what we believe by faith in our hearts. You see, the only way that we can see faith... You see, faith is something invisible. You see, I can't hold faith up here and show you faith. The only way that I can show you my faith is by outward expression, by doing something, you see. And so, and that's what James talks about real true faith. A real faith exercises itself in some way in works. And so when we are baptized, what we are doing, we are saying openly, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again from the dead. I've received him as my Savior. And you know what? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. You see, I believe in Jesus, and I want to show everybody. I want to show everybody that I'm a believer. And Jesus came openly and died for me, didn't he? Certainly he did. He was made a laughingstock. He was made a point of scoffing and mockery for you and I. And is it too much to ask that we should step out openly and confess him and profess him through baptism so that everybody can see that we believe? And so, you know what? Listen, we need to come out. The Lord doesn't have a secret service. Amen. You see, the Lord wants us to be to confess him openly and be unashamed about it. Well, somebody says, you know what, Pastor? I'm shy. I'm shy to get up in front of people. Well, you know what? The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can put aside your shyness for just a little bit and stand up for the Lord and be baptized. Somebody says, well, I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of water. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can trust Pastor Randy and Pastor Caleb. These guys are strong. They can put you down and they can bring you up. I want to tell you something, and you can believe this. You can trust your life to this guy. Amen. Amen. In fact, you want him right next to you when you go down. we can come up with all kinds of excuses for not doing the right thing, folks. Listen, if you're here today and you've received Christ, listen, I don't want to be facetious or anything, but listen, if you've received Christ today, you need to be baptized. The Lord commanded it. You should want to show your love to him and obey his command. You don't want to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Stand up for him and be publicly baptized to show your faith in the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he's done for you. Now take your Bible quickly and go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And we'll look at a couple of things here very quickly. Romans, the 6th chapter. All right. Does everybody have it? Romans chapter 6, read verses 4 and 5 with me if you would please. The Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ, Notice that phrase, like as, and like figure. As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, notice that phrase, planted together in the likeness of his death, in a similar fashion, likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, simply put, when you are baptized, what you are doing, you are identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And you are putting forth a likeness. Now, a likeness is a figure or a picture. You are putting forth a likeness or a picture of what Jesus Christ did for you. When I was baptized, and that's the reason, by the way, this is one of the reasons, not the only reason, but this is one of the reasons that we baptize by immersion, you see. We baptize by immersion because it is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And when we baptize somebody, we lay them down into the water, and that's a picture of Jesus Christ's death and his dying and being buried. You see, he's lying down in death. He's lying down in death. And we are identifying ourselves with him and saying, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he died for me. And I'm identifying myself with him in his death. He died for me. It was on that cross that he was dying for me. He was my substitute. I should have been on that cross. You see? He was dying for me, and he laid down in death for me. And I'm going to identify myself with him in that death. And then when we come up out of the water, we are picturing, of course, his what? His resurrection. His resurrection. Jesus Christ came up out of the grave. He came up out of the tomb victoriously. And when we come up out of the water, we're picturing that and saying, I died with Christ and I'm risen with Christ. I died with Christ and I'm risen with Christ. And I believe that he died for me and that he rose again from the dead. And I'm identifying myself with him in his death and in his resurrection. Now, not only that, go on down to verse 9 now. Verse 9. Notice what it says here. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. You see? Death has no more power over Christ. No more power. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. Now, Jesus was not dying unto sin for himself. You understand that? Jesus was sinless. The Bible says he knew no sin. He knew no sin. So he wasn't dying for his own sin. He was dying for your sin and my sin. The Bible says that God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was your sin and my sin that Christ was dying for on the cross. But he died unto that sin once. Only one death, only one sacrifice was necessary because it was the infinite Son of God who was dying. And so he died for our sin just once. But in that he liveth unto God. He liveth never to die again. Now that shows that he paid for all of our sin. If there was some sin that he missed, he could not have risen from the dead. Death would still have dominion. Because the wages of sin is death. But he paid for that. You see? And now death has no more power over him because sin is all paid for. Now because of that, look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon or account ye yourselves also to be what? Dead indeed unto sin. Dead indeed unto sin. Now you see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he died not only to pay the penalty for our sin, he rose again from the dead to break the power of sin. The penalty of sin has been paid for. The power of sin has been broken by his life. He lives, never to die again. The power of sin over him and the power of sin over us is broken. And someday he's going to come back and we're going to be delivered from even the very presence of sin, praise God. Now, let's read on here. So we are to account ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here is the result. Let not sin therefore what? Reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, how do I relate this to our baptism? Well, you see, folks, in our baptism, not only are we identifying ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, but in a very real sense, as we account what he has done for us, as we reckon or impute, as we place to our account that which he has done for us, in a very real way, we are making a commitment. We are making a commitment. We are making a pledge. And in this sense, what we are saying is this. Listen, I used to be a person who lived my life in disregard for God. I was my own master, my own captain. I lived my life the way I wanted to live it, and I lived it in sin. I want you to know, even though I was young when I was saved, I had a filthy mouth. I had a dirty heart. I had a dirty mind. Even as a young man, I did things constantly that displeased God. And if you're honest, you'll say the same thing. But when I got saved, Christ died for my sin. He died to pay the penalty for my sin so I don't have to go to hell. But he also died and rose again to break the power of sin. And when I was baptized, I was making a commitment. I was saying, Lord, I am dying with you to my old way of life. The scripture tells us to mortify our members upon the earth. That means to deaden them, to account them as dead. You see? And so when I am baptized, I am saying, I am making a commitment, a pledge. Lord, I am dying with you. I am dying with you to my old way of life. I'm not going to live after sin anymore. I'm not going to live ungodly anymore. By your grace, I'm not going to have a dirty mind anymore. By your grace, I'm not going to have a dirty mouth anymore. By your grace, I'm not going to live like the devil anymore. I am dying to this old way of life, and in you, I am rising to a new way. I am rising to newness of life. The power of sin is broken. You see, you died not only to save me from hell, you died to save me from a life of sin. You rose again to give me new life, new power. The Bible says that we are new creations in Christ. Amen? We are new creations in Christ. And so your baptism is an identification in that. It's also a pledge. It's a commitment that I have died to the old way of life and I'm rising to a new way of life. And so so I identify myself with that in Christ as we are baptized. Well, so there's I don't know if you're keeping track, but that's four good reasons to be baptized. Now, go with me back to Matthew very quickly. I don't have time to stay too long on any one point this morning. I've only got 32 points. Matthew chapter 3. So we've seen it's a command, and we should obey the command. We see it's an open confession. I believe. We identify ourselves with Christ in his death and resurrection as a gospel picture. And we are making a commitment as we die with Christ to the old way of life and rise to newness of life. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, we read about Jesus coming to be baptized. Look at verse 13 with me, if you would, please. Matthew 3:13. And we don't have time to talk about all of the ramifications of Jesus' baptism, but I just want to point out a couple of things. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. The first thing I want you to see is this, is that Jesus thought it was important enough to be baptized to come about 70 miles to do it. Now, I don't know the exact distance from Nazareth down to where John was baptizing, just at the north end of the Dead Sea. But what, Brother Steve, about 70 miles, something like that? All right. So, by the way, Steve and Cindy Rosencrantz are with us today, our ambassadors to Israel. So it's great to see these folks today. So anyway, he felt it was important enough to come all of that distance, either by foot or on donkey or whatever, I don't know, but he came all of that distance just to be baptized. So he felt it was important. He felt it was important to be baptized. You see, because baptism was a part of his Father's will for him. And he felt it was important to be obedient to his Father's will. And so the Lord Jesus came to be baptized. Now, if it's important that the Lord Jesus be baptized, it may be important for us to be baptized. And being baptized, I want you to know that you're following the example of the Lord Jesus. Now, obviously, the Lord Jesus didn't come to be baptized because of his sin. He had no sin to repent of. So he was not coming to be baptized in acknowledgement of repentance of his sin, you see. But Jesus was coming to be baptized in a certain sense in relationship to our sin. Notice what he goes on to say here. And verse 14, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Now, John received his authority to baptize directly from God. And as far as the biblical record is concerned, as far as I know, and maybe I'm mistaken somewhere, but as far as I know, there's no record of John himself being baptized. But John had the authority to baptize, and the scriptures tell us that he got that authority directly from God. So John was an authorized baptizer, so to speak, you see. And so Jesus comes to John to be baptized, but John's immediate reaction to that is, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy, you see. You should be baptizing me. But notice what Jesus' reply is. Notice what Jesus' reply is in verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, allow it or suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And so Jesus' reply to John was, this is the righteous thing to do. This is what we must do to fulfill all righteousness. Some people think that the us in this verse, when Jesus says, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus is not referring to John there, but to the Father. As in Genesis chapter 1, when God says, let us make man after our image and our likeness. And that Jesus is replying the us there, thus it is of us to fulfill all righteousness, refers to Jesus and the Father. This is how we're going to fulfill righteousness, you see. Now, what was Jesus doing? Now, like I say, I'm not trying to exhaust the depths of this, and I'm not even sure that I do know this, but that I know it all. But listen, here's the thing. What Jesus was saying, in a sense, is this. What was Jesus going to do? He was going to be baptized. He was going to be baptized. How was he going to be baptized? He was going to be baptized just like you and I are baptized. There was no difference. He was going to be placed into the water. He was going to be brought out of the water. How was Jesus going to bring in righteousness? How was Jesus going to fulfill all righteousness? He was going to do what? He was going to die, and he was going to rise. He was going to die, and he was going to rise. And so you and I, in our baptism, we make a commitment to the Lord. Jesus Christ, when he came to be baptized, he was making a commitment also. He was fulfilling his commitment to the Father, but he was making a commitment to us. And he was saying, this is how we're going to fulfill all righteousness, is I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be put in a tomb, and I'm going to lay down in death, but I'm going to rise again. And so Jesus was making a commitment in his baptism. Just like you and I make a commitment in our baptism to follow the Lord. He was making a commitment to us. He was fulfilling the will of his Father. He was coming to do what God had desired him to do. He came in obedience, the Bible says in Philippians, even unto death. He was obedient even unto death. Obedient to who? Obedient to the Father. Even unto death. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. You see. And so, dear people, in our baptism, we follow the example of the Lord Jesus. Now, look at verse 17 with me. After Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descends upon him in visible form. And verse 17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So the voice from heaven, the voice of the Father comes and says, this is my beloved Son, and I am well pleased in him. And the Father shows his approval of his Son. The Son has been obedient. And the Father shows his approval. Now, dear people, how many of you want God's approval? How many of you want to be in a place where God can bless you? How many want to be in a place where God can use you? How many want to be in a place where God's countenance can shine upon you? Now listen, I'm going to just say this very simply. Baptism is the first step of commitment and obedience when you're saved. You are not prepared to serve the Lord. You are not prepared to go on in your Christian life. You are not prepared to be fruitful. You are not prepared to have God's blessing upon you every day of your life as long as you are willfully disobedient in the area of baptism. You cannot willfully be disobedient to a plain command of the Lord Jesus Christ and expect God's approval upon your life. You can't do it. You can't be involved in ministry. You can't be used of God, and you can't really expect God's blessing if you're going to be willfully disobedient to the commands of God. And the first command of God, listen to me now. I'm saying this just gently and tenderly. I'm not trying to knock anybody in the head here this morning. But maybe I am a little bit, but listen. If you're really serious, if you have really received Christ, if you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you truly and really believe that, if you're really born again, if you're really saved, if you're really washed in the blood, if you're truly a believer, then the first thing you ought to do after that is be baptized. Why? If for no other reason, Jesus Christ, your Lord, commanded you to. You see? It's the first step in our service and our obedience to Christ. And then one more thing, and I'm going to be done this morning. I'm just going to mention it very quickly. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. He preaches the gospel, and many receive Christ as Savior. Look at verse 41. "Then they that gladly received," Peter preached Christ. He preached his death and his resurrection, preached the gospel, called for repentance and faith. And the Bible says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were" what? "They were baptized." They were immediately baptized, you see. And that's the first thing they did upon receiving Christ was they were baptized. And the Bible says, "In the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And then in verse 47, the last phrase of verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, we've already seen that those that were saved were baptized. You see, the last point I want to make is this, is that baptism opens the door of the church. Now, I'm sure there might be some, but I don't know of any denominations, whether I agree with them or not, any denominations that open the door of the church to those that they consider to be unbaptized. And Baptists are not alone in that. But Baptists believe, because we believe the Bible, we believe that before you are qualified to be a church member, before you can come into the church, you must be baptized. You must be baptized. That's the biblical design. That's the biblical pattern. You accept Christ. B, you're baptized. And C stands for church. You see, A, B, C. What are the ABCs? You accept Christ. B, you're baptized. C, you come into the church. D is for discipleship. E is for evangelism. We could go on down. And I want to tell you one more thing that I'm going to be done. I want you to know that the local church is God's design for ministry, for growth, for fellowship. It's God's design. It's God's design for His people to be baptized and to come together in local churches to grow, to observe the ordinances, to have fellowship and concern and care and compassion for one another, to go out and minister, to preach the gospel, to support missions, to do all of these things. God's design for that is the local church. But before you can be a part of that, before you can be a real part of that, I mean, you can come, but before you can be a real part of that, and you should be a real part of that, you must be baptized. Now, let me just ask you one question, I'm going to be done. Why not be baptized? If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, why not be baptized? What possible good reason can you give for not being baptized other than you just don't want to? You just don't want to. You just don't feel like it. You should be baptized if you believe in Jesus. You see, you should be baptized if you believe in Jesus. I've met people in my lifetime who just refuse to be baptized. Oh, I believe, Pastor, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to be baptized. I don't want to be baptized. Well, listen, you can get by with that with me, but I don't know how it's going to work with the Lord. You see, I don't know how it's going to work with the Lord. Now, I say this lovingly and kindly this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, the Lord commands that you should be baptized. And it always is a wonderful thing when you're obedient to the Lord. It really is. It's always a wonderful thing when you're obedient to the Lord. Now, listen, it's probably too late for you to get on today's baptism, but we can have another one here pretty shortly. We could have another one here pretty shortly. In fact, the summer is young. We could probably have another one down at the river, couldn't we, Pastor Andy? You know? And so if you're here today and you need to be baptized, why don't you speak to Pastor Randy? Why don't you just get a hold of him? Or you can talk to me, too. I'm still talkable. You can talk to me, too. And talk to Pastor Caleb, and just say, I've been praying about it and thinking about it, and I want to follow the Lord in baptism. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't have a scriptural baptism. You say, well, what do you mean by not having a scriptural baptism? I mean, maybe you've been sprinkled. I don't have time to get into this morning, folks, but, sprinkling is not a scriptural baptism. Sprinkling is not even translated from the word baptism. Did you know that? Sprinkling comes from a Greek word, rantizo. It means to sprinkle. And sprinkling is not baptism. Sprinkling is rantism. And that's not biblical. Now maybe you've been baptized in the wrong way. Maybe you haven't been baptized by immersion to picture His death and resurrection. You see, when I was a little baby, my mom and dad had me sprinkled, and that wasn't a proper baptism. That wasn't baptism. Baptism has to take place after you're saved in the proper way. It has to picture the death and resurrection of Christ, you see. So, listen, if you need to be baptized, why, speak to the pastor, speak to myself, speak to Pastor Caleb, and we'll help you, okay? We'll help you. All right, God bless you, and thank you for listening this morning. Let's sing number 468.